The Bible is not difficult to understand, yet, sadly, so many think that it is. Now, one reason some have difficulty understanding the Bible is that it's not written like a novel. The books contained within are not a single narrative arranged in chronological order. So if someone didn't already know that, well, it could be a bit confusing. Still another point that seems to stand above all others when it comes to misapprehension is understanding the difference between the Old and New Testaments. Not only does the average person not seem to understand, but there's also been numerous Bible scholars who have exhibited a deficiency in discerning the difference. And unfortunately, this lack of knowledge has led to many misguided practices and false doctrines. So being able to distinguish between the Old and New Testaments is a key to gaining true Bible knowledge. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, in the King James Version, the Apostle Paul wrote, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Rightly dividing the word is a good description, which means we need to handle accurately or teach the truth directly and correctly. And a diligent student of God's word should know that the Bible can be divided according to different methods. For example, first, one should recognize that the Bible is a library of discrete writings, totaling 66 books in two volumes, 39 in the first and 27 in the second. It has 1,189 chapters and 31,000 verses. Secondly, it has thematic divisions, such as books of the law or history and poetry and prophecy and letters. You see, knowing these things helps one to handle the scriptures more accurately by being able to locate specific teachings and properly identify the context of the writing. But the most important division of scripture is that of the two covenants or agreements. That's actually what the word testament means. For example, Jesus said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." That's in Matthew 26, verse 28. In that passage, Jesus is saying that he is instituting a new agreement between God and man, a new covenant. Now, if you compare this verse in different versions, such as the ESV, the New King James, or the CEV, you will see that there are differences in the words being used. This verse and a few others, such as 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6, or Colossians 2, verse 14, and Galatians 6, 2, is how we know the Bible is divided into two parts: the Old Testament, being old because it's no longer in effect, and the New Testament, which is the current binding agreement, the one that Jesus is talking about in Matthew chapter 26. Now, there are several agreements or covenants between God and His creation, and those can be seen all throughout the scriptures. For example, in Genesis chapter 6, verses 13 through 18, with whom do we see God establishing a covenant? Well, it was Noah. And then later in Genesis 15, verse 18, we read that God made another covenant with someone else. Do you remember what his name was? Well, it was Abraham. Then we see yet another covenant made in Exodus chapter 34, verse 27, with Moses. Now, each of these agreements led up to and pointed toward the covenant that Jesus Christ would ultimately make at the Last Supper, the night before he was crucified. So one way that we might explain the concept of the two covenants is to look at it like it's a contract, or much like a will that someone puts into effect. In fact, the best explanation of what Jesus Christ did is found in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 14 through 20. Which makes that exact point. And here's what we see that's involved in a testament. There is a mediator and a testator. Now, according to Thayer's dictionary, a mediator is one who intervenes between two parties, either in order to make or restore peace and friendship or form a compact or even ratify a covenant. And a testator is a person who makes or initiates the will. He's the one who decides who the beneficiaries shall be. The Bible teaches us that Jesus is our mediator in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. And since He is the one who gave us the new covenant, as we read in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 25, then that also makes Him the testator. Thereby, He can nullify the old covenant. So the conclusion that can be summarized can be done in this manner. God made an agreement long ago with the Jews through the father of their nation, Abraham. And the Jews ratified that agreement and lived under the law of Moses, as we see in Exodus 19, verse 8. When Christ came into the world, He established a new agreement. And when He died, this new agreement, or this testament, was put into effect. And that prompted the cancellation or the annulment of the first covenant. So now, neither the Hebrews nor anyone else can use that old agreement as our law today. It is the old covenant, and we now have a new one. And this is exactly why we are called New Testament Christians. And as Christians, we must learn and know the will of God if we want to be assured of eternal life, as is found in the New Testament. If we don't know how to rightly handle the Word of God, well, we wind up putting our souls in jeopardy.